I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on yet another big night of European action. Rangers earn a good point away to Olympiacos. Philippe Clement made changes with no James Tavernier in the starting 11. Hearts perform well but lose in the end to Heidenheim of the Bundesliga. And Brendan Rodgers hails a generational performance against RB Leipzig ahead of a trip to Kilmarnock on Sunday. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Jim Duffy. Another big midweek, Jim, and now straight back to the bread and butter of the domestic stuff.
Yeah, well, in terms of performances, to quote an old song, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know, Rangers had a terrific performance and a great point away from home. Celtic's performance was absolutely, you know, out of the very top draw. And Hearts, I think, actually probably played not bad, but unfortunately they're just not capitalising any chances just now, and eventually lost out 2-0. But overall, better performances from our teams in Europe, and I think there has been, you know, decent progress in both competitions, particularly from Celtic and Rangers. And they'll have matches obviously to contend with over the weekend, but certainly both of them getting in good form.
I think obviously the performance of Celtic Tuesday, fantastic on and off the ball, felt physically they looked even superior to RB Leipzig, which is saying a lot in terms of the work that Brendan Rodgers has put into this Celtic side and the lessons learned from the Borussia Dortmund game. In terms of Rangers away to Olympiacos, I thought it was an excellent mature performance for Rangers, some really good performances within that. Dessers getting another goal and took it really well, although he missed the big chance early on, but real good composure, great finish. So I think Rangers fans will be delighted with that. That's kind of been two best performances for me, Rangers this season, Malmo and Olympiacos.
Come on down, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what did you make of last night? What did you like about the performance? What about the personnel? How does that set you up going forward in this Europa League group stage? What does it do for that overall picture? We know the last couple of weeks has been serious doom and gloom. Does that show there is some life left in the team that you maybe doubted? Or is there still a long way to go? Let us know how you are feeling. It was an interesting team as well, of course, because James Tavernier did not start the game, and he then wasn't the first option to come on at right back. Philippe Clement, however, did say he always planned on rotating him anyway. I wonder if you are on board with that, or if you think this is a sign of things to come. Does he get straight back in the team this weekend, or is this the start of someone else trying to keep that spot at right back? Do let us know. The enigma that is Cyril Dessers. I saw you all, you were tweeting this show, cursing him when he missed those two chances in the first half. Then he pops up with a crucial goal, and it's a sort of similar story. So I wonder how you're feeling about him today as well. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, dust starting to settle Friday night, of course, after a Tuesday game. But Brendan Rodgers spoke today. He says he's seen people call it a generational performance the other night, and he would have to agree with that. No Cameron Carter-Vickers or Austin Trusty at training today. I wonder if they're a doubt for the weekend. He says that Alistair Johnson's new contract isn't imminent, but it's something he would like to do. He says he's also not heard anything about Alex Valle's loan being cut short, but again, he hopes that's not the case. So get all your thoughts in there. Would be nice to hear from you Hearts fans, any that have got thoughts on the game last night, because surely you were encouraged by the performance. I know we say the result is key and all that sort of stuff, but going toe-to-toe with a decent Bundesliga side early on in the game and maybe just falling a bit short, give us your thoughts there. And of course, as if that is not enough, it's Friday night. So basically every single team out there has something on the go this weekend. Give us all your pre-match thoughts ahead of those, please. 0141 951 1025. We just go straight back to it, don't we? Big weekend coming up.
Yeah, I mean, again, but you want to get into these games, you know, feeling confident, having that belief. Celtic, obviously, absolutely flying, hammered Aberdeen in the semi-final. And then the performance, as Scott mentioned there, against Leipzig was just fantastic. It was a phenomenal performance. They had literally, if you take the 90 minutes, there was maybe a 10, 15 minute max spell after Leipzig scored, where they looked a little bit nervy. But the biggest thing for me, you know, in that game was how calm they were coming out the second half. You scored just on half time. The crowd is up for it. You come out the second half, you could get overexcited, but they were so controlled, so calm, but kept that same intensity. And you said it was a very mature performance in that sense, but it was also an exciting performance. It could have scored more goals. Fantastic result. And, you know, and as much as you mentioned, Rangers fans have been, you know, a bit critical, and deservedly so, for some of the performances. The one thing you can't argue just now is that they're fighting for their manager. You know, they came back against Motherwell, go down, you know, had to roll their sleeves up. Not a brilliant performance, but a fantastic result. And then again, another goal down at the weekend, during the week there in Europe. But as you mentioned, Dessers could have got his head down, but didn't. It was a lovely finish, a really good goal, but a terrific wee bit of calmness and a lovely finish. So again, showing that they're fighting for the manager, they're playing for the jersey. And these things are important. Sometimes you've just got to try and grind a few results out, keep in the fight, and then hopefully your form changes. And if you can add that, you know, kind of determination, desire, then you've got a platform to build on.
Rangers fans, talk to us. The performance last night, the result, Philippe Clement, James Tavernier, Cyril Dessers, Conor Barron and Nicholas Raskin, whatever you took away, do share your thoughts. Right now, Celtic fans going from the glamour of RB Leipzig to a more run-of-the-mill, with no disrespect, of course, to Kilmarnock, but a more traditional challenge at the weekend. How are you feeling about that? Get all your calls in right now and we'll speak to you between now and 8 o'clock. Let's kick off with William, who is a Rangers fan. How's it going, William?
Paul Gordon, Jim and Scott.
Hey, William. How are you? You well?
Yeah, I'm fine, mate. I'm just coming on, right, to give the manager and the team, cut them a wee bit of slack. I'm one of these guys where I don't want to see a new Rangers manager every Halloween, you know what I mean? Because that's what it's been like for the last 3 years. I'll give you a scenario, right? See, for the next 6 years, Celtic are going to be favourites to win the league, right? And see, if we don't start well in that league in the next few years, they're going to be sacking managers every year, no less a manager can come in and buck the trend. Just cut the man a bit of slack. There's definitely a team there. You've seen it last night. They played really well. Not many teams get a draw or even a win in Olympiacos. They're conference champions. You know what I mean? It was a great result, a great performance. Just cut the man a wee bit of slack. We know we kind of keep losing matches. That's by the by. But game time, I think we can turn that around.
Yeah, what does this do, Jim? We bang on for weeks about the Rangers manager and the pressure he's under, so that's never gone away in like one night. And let's be honest, see if it doesn't go to plan against Hearts on Sunday, we'll have all the same calls again. But do you understand the kind of general sentiment from William?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, from Mommy's point of view, I know it's very difficult if you're a Rangers fan, but you've got to try and take the Celtic element away. You've got to focus on your own team, your own club, and how are you progressing. Is the team moving forward? Is there improvement in the structure, the infrastructure at the football club? There's a lot of stuff in the background, as we know, with you know, people leaving, and you know, they've still got a lot of stuff to sort out there. But just take the team on the pitch. Has there been progress made under Philippe Clement? I think that's the thing that you would always look at. You can take away all the injury, but that happens to every club. So to me, I think that Rangers still have to show a level of style and philosophy, and see what direction are they actually looking to play in. I think he's beginning to get there a little bit. You mentioned Barron and Raskin in the middle of the pitch. Those two look as if they're a little bit more balanced in there. He obviously has removed Tavernier. Is he going to go away a little bit more of a solid back four, allowing Cherney to go and get a bit more freedom? He maybe thinks he doesn't need the high advanced fullback. So there are signs that there is development there, but I think those signs have to, show that there's a continued progress here. And at this moment in time, I think it's been a bit stop-start.
What did you make of the performance last night, Scott? I mean, William outlines Olympiacos' credentials, which I don't think are in doubt.
Obviously, the success they had in Europe last year, beating a side like Aston Villa, who obviously Celtic came up against at the end of their league phase. I think for me, it's kind of what I've been asking for, Philippe Clement, when we've been on the show the last few weeks, was that bit of structure behind the ball that allows you to grow into a game. I felt last night they most certainly had that. the inconsistency with the domestic performances compared to Europe, I think it's clear to see for all. So that was the questions I've been asking. I felt, come on, can you see the work that's been done in the training ground transferred into a game? I think that's what we've seen with Rangers last night, and that's all I've been asking for.
What impressed you the most, William?
Well, definitely Dujon Sterling, the right back. You know what I mean? It was a call that had to be made. And I thought that guy, is it Mertens his name? I just cost so many millions. He put him to sleep, you know what I mean? He absolutely handcuffed the boy. You know what I mean? I thought he was good. The two midfielders were 10 out of 10, you know what I mean? They gave every last drop they had last night. I don't know if the panel will agree with that.
What would you make of the right back one, Scott? Because, well, in fact, tell you what, let's play this first. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says it wasn't an easy decision to bench James Tavernier, but he said he decided, you know, before this season he would rotate that right back spot more.
That's never an easy decision, but I want more than one captain in the group. It's also, if you come at a certain age, you cannot play 60 games anymore at the same level. So that's normal. So we knew that before the season. We talked about that before the season also. And that was just the captain. So he will continue like that, and he will play also more games this season. And it's about competition for the spots for everybody. It's not about one player or one ego or one thing. It's about one team. It's about winning together. And he showed it also now in the last couple of weeks also by playing in a higher position in moments and doing the job for the team. So that's what I expect. That's Rangers. One team, one family, everybody going for one goal.
What did you make of it? It was always going to be a big moment when it arrived. I know Philippe Clement says he was planning that this season anyway, but we've still not really seen it. And it is it. You think it is on the back of the performance?
It's purely performance. I think if you're getting the same numbers, I think Tavernier's got one goal this season. I think if he's given you the creativity that we have seen and the incredible numbers, obviously, from the penalty spot and free kicks, all the kind of big influence he's had in recent years, that stops. So once that stops, if you're not getting both sides of the game, it's then an easier decision for the manager to make. So for me, I think it's purely down to performance. I did think Rangers looked structurally better last night in terms of defensively. I think Dujon Sterling one-on-one would be a better defender than James Tavernier, although what he's gave you over the years in terms of attacking and numbers is incredible. But I think sometimes your course is run, and I think that is looking the case for James Tavernier.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been a top class player for Rangers, but you do hit a dip in form, and then, you know, as Philippe Clement says, there is competition. You can't be guaranteed to play. You know, that's the bottom line. You have to perform a higher level. His form has dipped this year, there's no doubt about it. And as Scott said there, I think it's an easier call. Yeah, of course, the manager's going to defend him. He's not going to come out and criticise him. I think he's had enough criticism, with many fans. So I think sometimes you even need a little bit of a breather. You can recharge, you can reset. Yeah. As I mentioned, I think with Tierney in front of him, he maybe just want to say, well, you've got a bit more freedom to go, and he doesn't need that, you know, is a high fullback, because as he mentioned there just briefly, he can play higher, but that's when he's played actually a right back behind him. He's been on. So, and a lot of people have been talking about that for the last couple of years, whether he might be better a little bit one advanced. I feel for Tavernier, because I said I think his numbers have been extraordinary over his Rangers career. But the difficulty he has is that people always look at that defensive weakness.
What do you think, William? If this is just a rotation, then he'll be back in the team soon, surely. But that's not what you would do, by the sounds of it.
No, you're definitely... Well, if he's put that sort of performance in, you can't drop the boy, you know what I mean? No. I seen last night they were having a wee tete-a-tete at the end. I don't think Sterling wanted to come off, but I think the manager was saying you need to watch what you're doing when you're getting your certain amount of minutes, which I don't agree with. I hate that saying, a slight knock and all that. People should just go home and just play, you know what I mean? Too much sports science in my opinion.
I know, Scott Allen's in here with Stucky on a couple of weeks ago. Like, remember you would just play with a broken wrist, Jim? Just put a bit of sawdust on it and get on with it.
You just get on with it. You know, that's what painkillers were for. You know, just strap it up, get on with it, and actually gave you a wee bit of clout. But you know, no, Scott's a wee bit more cultured.
Do you think it became? I'd happily slag him a bit more, but just quickly, do you think it became, because it was like a Philippe Clement knows it's a thing. You know, it's an issue. It's a big talking point when James Tavernier doesn't play. So when Dujon Sterling has to come off so early, you then put Cass and Weiro on. Is that to? Do you know what I mean? Is that
That's an interesting one. That's an interesting one for me, the fact that he put Cassian Weir on instead. I think he is looking for that more physical aspect in terms of profile of player.
Mm. Yeah, but I think also it was one each at that time, and you're maybe thinking, right, we want the one thing we don't want to do is be losing this game. Yeah. So you put on someone who's maybe a little bit more defensive minded. You've still got, I mean, obviously brings Tavernier on in the last few minutes. But I just think he's looking at, you know, a slightly different way of playing. You know, not a huge change, but a slightly different way of playing now. And maybe, as Scott said, sometimes you're on your course. I mean, you were there, I think you were there anyway, when Scott Brown started to get edged out of Celtic a little bit, you know, in terms of you know, when you're playing week in, week out. And eventually he said, well, I really want to be playing every week. So you're not going to be, so you've the choice, and he eventually moves. Even the top players who have been guaranteed for how many hundreds of games, eventually, as Scott said, the time comes where you have to make another choice.
Let's thank William and ask David in Barhead what he makes of it. David?
I thought we played really well. I thought if you took the quality of chances, I think Rangers had more and better chances than Olympiacos did. I'm starting to get impressed with the understanding that Barron and Raskin have. I've always been a fan of Raskin, and I'm glad to see him getting a run in the team. And I think he's looking the sort of quality player that he should be. Also, Sterling, I don't know why he came off, if an injury or whatever, but I thought we looked more sound in defence. Even the boy Casemiro, when he came on, he looked a sort of quality player. And I think we're just starting to play a wee bit better than we had been at the start of the season, getting a wee bit settled, especially with the midfield being more settled and playing better, and I think it makes it for a better Rangers team.
See this notion, David, of better off without James Tavernier, is that too easy to say tonight? Is it too quick, or are you starting to think that might be the case?
Well, you wonder why he brought on Casemiro first before he brought on Tavernier. You wonder, I just think he don't make him wrong, I'm a great fan of his, he's been a great servant to the Rangers, but I think teams are concentrating on him as being a weakness. Whenever they're playing Rangers, they seem to concentrate coming down that side.
I know you're always interested in the makeup of the midfield, Scott, and I don't want to, you know, you hammer the James Tavernier point, it kind of detracts away from what was a good night for Rangers in a sense. That Barron and Raskin combo really seemed to catch the eye.
Yeah, I think the both of them have great amounts of energy. I still think for me Barron can play forward a bit more, but I think the fact that Raskin was more of the deeper one plugging the gaps, it allowed Conor Barron to go a bit higher and really put pressure on Olympiacos players, and that's where he looked at his best. So I think it was a big step forward for Conor Barron last night. And once you find
so
that
you think
balance,
previously he's been basically operating too close to the back
four. Yeah, for me, yeah. He was obviously dropping really deep off the game, moving the ball 5 or 10 yards to each side and not really affecting the game. I felt last night, because Raskin looked more at the deeper one, it allowed Conor Barron to really put pressure higher up and receive the ball in areas where he can. Rangers can hurt teams.
I mean, Jim, look, there's going to be injuries, there's going to be things change. It's never going to be that's the midfield three and they just stay that way. Eventually, Tom Lawrence comes back, but you do wonder if Rangers are now onto something there with that.
Yeah, I think that part, I mean, if you want to play 4-2-3-1, those two, you know, seem to dovetail really well. As Scott was saying there, at times Barron is, I mean, when you know, before Raskin came in, I think he was in between styles. Again, he was dropping very deep, but then at times he would rush to people to try and press him, and he was never getting there, so they could bypass, they could play in between the lines, as the phrase is now. Whereas now, if he is pressing, he knows that Raskin's shut on the round and cover them, kind of playing that little half, kind of half circle, and vice versa. Raskin can do it, and Barron can swing round as well. So there's a much better balance. Also, I don't think he's been brilliant, but I think he's been better, Diamandé, when he's been a bit more forward as well, because I think he's been pretty ineffectual, really, when he's been one of the central midfield players. Mm-hmm. So I think that might help him as well. Obviously, Lawrence is a miss. Hadji might come back in if he gets fit, and he could play in that role if he gets back fit again and available. I know he's not available for the UEFA competition, but he could be a player that could play there as well, and that could give them that little bit of extra quality in front of goal.
Some good points well made, David and Barhead. Thank you. Perfect time to call. If you're still on about Rangers last night, we've not got onto that man yet. Cyril Dessers. What are we making of him tonight after another mixed bag? It was a very good goal, as the guys have pointed out. Give us your thoughts right now. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Scott Allen are here. We're asking for your calls on last night's European action, whether that's Rangers or Hearts, looking ahead to the weekend, still reflecting probably on Tuesday for you Celtic fans. Where are we on the Rangers discussion? We've been talking about James Tavernier. Was it right to drop him? Should it, or rotate him, sorry, to get the wording right. Should it stay that way? What about Cyril Dessers? We need to talk about him. We talk about him all the time, but for good reason. So get your calls in right now, please. Let's hear from Philippe Clement on the performance. He feels they could have come away with all 3 points if they were more clinical. However, was happy overall.
A very strong performance as a team. Sticking to the plan, being very disciplined and using the spaces, not perfectly, but a lot of times really good, and creating good chances out of that. So that's for me the only, yeah, minor, but it stays an important thing. Disappointment that we didn't win the game. So that's the next step we need to take to win these kind of games, by being more efficient. But I saw a lot of positive things, and I need to praise all team for that. What they showed today in the discipline to stick to the plan and to do the right things on the balls.
Billy is a Rangers fan. What jumped out for you, Billy?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon? Thanks very much for putting us on tonight. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
I've just listened to the wee bit there for Philippe Clement. I've seen the progression and the chances that were created, and we're creating more chances. But who's up front to put them away? Seriously. I mean, how long are Rangers going to have to put up with Dessers? I mean, he's missing umpteen different chances. Even last night, he had umpteen chances. We were ready to win that game last night. And missed two, three maybe. And he put one away, which was a good goal.
Exactly. Could say he's the man that got you a point.
He got us a point, but could he cost us 3 points.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And how long are Rangers going to have to put up with it?
Oh, listen, I'm obviously slightly tongue-in-cheek, because everyone's saying the same thing, and you know, you can see it as the game goes on. And I said last night, I can't back this theory up. It just feels like a hunch. It feels like he never scores, then misses the chances. It feels like he misses them first. Again, it's just, that's the way it kind of feels, you know, because everyone's then throwing things at their TV, shouting things, and oh, that's a great finish, that, well done. Where are we on him then, and the goals versus the misses?
I can't disagree. I think the first one, I think he's unfortunate. The second one he goes through, there's just a real lack of conviction. Then we go on to the one he scores, where he shows great composure. It's just, there's no ruthlessness there for me. I do think Rangers should be looking for better, whether they can at this moment in time, in terms of financial things and the type of players that are out there to go and sign. That's another thing. But there's no denying the fact that games at Rangers have maybe took 1 point, if they have a real ruthless striker, that they come away with all three for me.
Yeah, I don't think he's a natural goal scorer, but the fact is he's a decent goal scorer, and I don't think it's all down to him, Billy, in the sense of, you know, other players have got to chip in. I mean, you see so many teams now where the wide players are chipping in. I know Cherny's recently scored a few goals, but other players have got to contribute as well. And at this moment in time, Rangers don't have a lot of options. I mean, they don't have another striker who is breathing down the neck of Dessers, who's putting them, you know, under, you know, football and pressure in terms of standards and scoring more goals. And they're very, very few and far between. I mean, you know, you could throw 10 million in and someone say, well, go and find me a striker that's going to guarantee to score you know, a better percentage of those chances that Rangers are creating. And there's not many names. I don't think there'd be many names that somebody could throw at you. So very, very difficult. I think in modern day football is the most difficult area to source as a natural goal scoring striker, because most teams only play with one striker. And therefore, by simple arithmetic, there are less around than there used to be.
It's half the amount.
Yeah. There used to be. So it's much, much more. And if anybody's even decent, they'll keep them in the squad. So very, very difficult. So I do feel a wee bit sorry for Dessers, because I think he works hard. He scores a decent number of goals, but he does miss, you know, probably, you know, the easier ones. But last night's goal, listen, fantastic goal. I mean, I'm thinking he's going to hit it. You know, when he's went through, and he's just dragged it inside, and then he's just clipped it into the far corner. So it shows that he does have composure in the key moments. But as I said, he's always going to be a guy that divides opinion. I don't think there's any question about that.
I mean, Danilo might be the guy that pushes him, but he's had his injury problems and therefore is not in the European squad, and Egerman's there. Is there anything to suggest that he can push him or carry some of the burden? I don't know how this.
It's a really difficult one. I mean, I agree with parts of what Jim says in terms of he is a decent finisher and he shows real composure for that one. But Rangers could be 1-0 up in that game, and it's a different game. They can manage.
He just needs
to
score
better,
like the one where you bundle in. So see, when you see a goalkeeper maybe spilling, you never really see Dezer sliding in and bundling one in for 3 or 4. That's the reason why I don't think he's a natural goal scorer. He's not somebody that's
what are the ones?
It's assessing it, you know, to see the ball's across the 6 yard line. I'm sliding in. I'm just shinning.
That's what
it
I was going to say. Is there a pattern? What are the ones that he scores? Because you can't say he's not got any composure when he's composed. But you know,
see the one that he scores last night. Quite easily he could put that by the post like he does. I think it was against Motherwell at the weekend. He goes in on his left and it's dragged by the
and
post.
Even the
so
one
he's
the
very
first
inconsistent.
Half last
night,
if he picks a corner,
finishing.
Doesn't he?
Yeah,
he doesn't. He just hits it and hits the boy in the shin. But he should really be picking a corner.
Naturally coming in for that side, you should be shaping that round the goalie. Mm-hmm. But even that's what I'm saying. It's like a lack of conviction. He doesn't fancy himself, and then obviously fast forward and he throws in the little disguise. Defender did sell himself right enough and then picks a call, so he's so inconsistent in terms of
his
finishing.
Must admit, listen, great, no, not taking anything away from him, but I'm not sure defenders should really be going last ditch block outside the box.
Defender was horrendous.
Should they?
It was horrendous.
Then go
you've actually got to let him shoot if you're a defender. You've actually got to say, well, I'm trusting my goalie to save this here. It's got to be a wonder strike to score, but to dive in the way he did was horrendous defender. But listen, we're talking about Dessers, and Billy's, saying, they've got to, but you've got to have an option, and Rangers at this moment in time don't have another option. Ingame looks as if he's got a bit of potential, but again, he's another one where he runs around a lot, but is he in the box a lot? He's still got an awful lot to learn. So to me, it's all right criticising someone, but you've got to have a better option. And at this moment in time, Dessers is the best option that Rangers have on their books.
Billy, what about the James Tavernier one?
Yeah, I think that was the right decision last night.
Do you think he'll come back in soon?
Oh, aye, he'll come back. Because I think, I agree with Clement on this one. He needs to rotate him. I mean, he's been there since, 2015, was it? I think I'm right in saying it, 2015. You know what I mean? So he's played game after game after game. And I think if he starts rotating him, gives him the spur to get yourself up to a standard. He can't play every game this season, and I'm fed up with people turning and saying, oh, get him at the door. No, that's not right, because I think James Tavernier has done a lot for Rangers, and he honestly, and I think he can still do a wee bit for Rangers. I agreed with a guy last night that said he's no captain material. He's no captain material at the moment, and I would give it to Jack Butland. But I think he's still got a lot to offer. David Rangers, but you need to give him the time, you need to give him the rest, the same as
Just quickly, you know, because we're, just quickly on that one, because we have heard it a lot. See, with that though, you just create an issue then that doesn't need to be there. Surely, if you, you know, if you make an actual stance of the captaincy, because if he's not playing, Jack Butland will wear the armband anyway. So yeah, that's the path of least resistance on that, isn't it? You're not going to just like strip him of the captaincy, then it becomes this big issue. You might lose him even further.
Yeah, he won't be stripped of the captaincy. I think ultimately it comes down to Dujan Stirling performed well last night. I think he'll play at the weekend. If he puts a run of games together the same way James Tavernier did when he came to Rangers, then it's hard to rotate if Dujan Stirling's playing well and Rangers start to pick up better results and performances, then Dujan Stirling will stay in the team.
But then, knowing Rangers as you do, would you put it past them that Dujan Stirling's actually just got a wee slight niggle for the weekend and hasn't quite shaken it off, and Tavernier plays anyway? We'll see. Thank you, Billy. What about William and Greenock? What's on your mind, William?
Just quickly, because
William, turn that radio off. No one, it's bad enough to listen to me once, never mind twice. I can hear it in the background. What are you thinking tonight?
Basically, I watched the game last night, and would you not think that Dessers needs a bit of support, i.e., like a second striker?
Well, does that change that? Is it not just the missed chances that people get annoyed at, though, more than anything?
More than anything, aye, but I think, see, with the bigger striker, somebody beside him, somebody like we'd be drilling boy, I think you'd see a totally different team. Because when he came off last week against Motherwell, he actually pulled three defenders away and that let Barani score his goal. I just want to know, Scott Allen, what would you actually think?
I just can't see Philip Clement playing with two up. I think the main reason for me was when they were chasing the goal against Aberdeen, he'd done a straight swap, Dessers for Agamani, so when they needed a goal at their most, he wasn't willing to go two up. I agree, I think at times Rangers should be able to be flexible in a formation and go with two and maybe change to a 3-5-2 at times, but for me that was the biggest case for knowing that. I'd be very surprised if at any time Philip Clement will play with two up.
Jim, I have heard it said quite a lot that for all his faults that Rangers maybe don't play to his strengths, but then maybe wouldn't say that last night, because if we're all saying that last night was a better performance all round, maybe that wasn't the case last night.
No, because he was in the position to score two or three goals and scored, you know, one very good goal. But, you know, William's asking maybe for a partner alongside him. And some players prefer a partner and some players don't. Some players don't link up so well. But I'm with Scott. I just think if you look at managers, I said the manager looks to play 4-2-3-1, and I think that's his preferred formation. Again, if Hadji gets himself back, you know, in a regular game, he could, you know, certainly contribute with goals and creativity, and that might help. So I just think that I don't think Diamondi's the answer. I think he's a bit better, but I do agree with William in the sense that he does need some sort of support and someone to take a little bit of the weight off his shoulders.
Where are you thinking overall, William, after last night? Because obviously there's been a lot of stick, and then people said at the weekend that Philippe Clement would be gone if he couldn't beat Motherwell, and then they did. Last night was obviously a lot better. You roll on to Sunday, like, so where are you overall with it?
Overall, I thought good performance, sorry. Could have scored two, maybe three of Dessers gonna through, but personally I'd have had I'd have had him sit in midfield, but Barani or Biami, whatever he's called, is, I would actually have him sitting off your number 10, because that's what he actually is.
He did a bit more last night though, didn't he? Yeah, he was more, no, I suppose he was still off a side, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I'm getting
he did play that way a couple of weeks ago in one of the games and done pretty well. And I think that's his preferred position, but again,
because now that Tom Lawrence isn't
trying to fit in that team,
now that Tom Lawrence isn't there, you know, William's right, I wonder if that is more of an opportunity. But then again, if you're going on last night, it wouldn't be, you know, you'd keep it the same three.
Yeah, I think obviously after last night's performance, it's Rangers. I think Philip Clement needs to kind of stick with a team. You seen that last night. Can they then take that performance into Sunday's game against Hearts? I do like the idea of Barami playing behind the striker. I think he travels with the ball well. I think he's probably one of the better ones on the Rangers side. A bit more dynamic. Obviously, the goal you see against Aberdeen as well, travelling, commits defenders, then has a finish. So,
but he's got injuries in the wide area, isn't he? No, yeah, I don't think Young McCausland's quite captured the level of form he had when he first came in.
Cortez injured.
I think Cortez injured. Obviously, Matondo's injured. So he's not quite got an option in that area as well.
Thank you to William. RW's on Twitter. RW's just made me time travel. We're back to the summer. He says Rangers should put in £500,000 for Shankland. in January. He's having a terrible season, but given the chances he'd score, would Hearts sell with 6 months left? That's the saga that will... I thought it was over, but we're back again. Thanks again to all the calls and tweets. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £300,000.
Yeah, Tracy just won £250,000, so we're going to crank it up a fair bit. It's your turn to try for £300,000. Of course, Christmas is getting closer, although I reckon £300,000 would be welcome at any time of the year, but maybe just ever so slightly better at this time of the year. It's a guaranteed winner as well, so you could be the one with that massive festive bonus of £300,000. Text YES to 61025 if you want involved. Text are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £250 or call 0330 880 4523, with calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo network competition are on our website. The lines close at 5 p.m. next Friday. I wouldn't go leaving it until then though, just in case you forget. So get involved, answer your phone. 300 grand is yours, paid into your bank straight after the call. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Jim Duffy are here. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB, looking back on a busy week of European action. Not so honest. John says he's loving Jim Duffy's get up because he's dressed formally. He says, is he going to a wedding? But this is because you're on the chauffeur.
Because I work, you know, for a living. I've
been meaning to pull you up on this because obviously we see you from time to time. You come in and you tell us. He drives some famous folk about, by the way, and he tells us nice wee stories.
Hugh Keevan's probably the most famous one.
Who doesn't he drive him about? And you know, you told us it was Jim Craig, I remember you said you had, and some others, and some foreign visitors who like to go all across the country. But then I picked up the paper. I didn't know you had Triple H of wrestling fame.
Triple H,
in your car.
Yeah, I had him for 3 days. But so I was his personal chauffeur for a couple of days.
Where did you take him?
Well, the hydro, the hotel, you know, for sushi. Fancied a bit of sushi. Which asking me for sushi, so I had to phone my daughter and say, right, where do you go for sushi? So she could recommend somewhere, things like that. So,
I mean, that'll not be his real name. He doesn't introduce himself as
Paul
Triple H, does he? I should know his name.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, that's his best pal.
His second name?
No, I don't know. It's over my head.
I should know it now because I didn't know it. But anyway, I mean, he was dead nice guy, huge. And he had his personal bodyguard, which was, I was laughing at him, thinking, so why would he need a personal bodyguard? Aye. But he did have one anyway, yes. And he was a former NYPD detective, and his name was Jim. So he was a nice guy, So anyway, but the two of them, I definitely think there wasn't going to be many people digging him up, that's for sure.
I think you'd take them both, to be honest. I don't care what you say. Chauffeur to the stars by day, radio pundit by night. He's here with Scott Allen. Andy is on the line. How are you, Andy?
Very much. Hi, Jim. Hi, Scott. How are you doing? I got my phone in Wednesday. I got cut off after 10 seconds. I think my battery.
I remember that. He disappeared on us.
I know. I call the show regularly, and people tell me it's the most sensible I've ever been to phoning in. So take it. Hey, the point I was going to make in Wednesday, sometimes after a game, you think something, and because it's recent sort of thing, you exaggerate a wee bit. So on Wednesday, I was phoning up to say there's a possibility we could make the quarterfinals, right? And I thought after a couple of days I would have been a bit more sensible and came alive to the fact that that's very, very improbable. I haven't. And here's where I'm coming to. When we get beat 7-1 for Dortmund, everybody wrote us off, but the performance over the four games puts us in a position now where, I don't know if Jim or Scott will agree, there's a realistic possibility, Celtic might not get another point, right? But there's also a realistic possibility they get enough points to get top 8 in the group. Which my understanding is you're seeded in the group in the last 16. You're seeded in the group in the last 16 and you're drawn against a Leipzig or an Atlanta just based on the performance you've had before. I mean, who knows? I just wanted to get the guy's thoughts on either Celtic's potential of finishing the top 8 of the Champions League and how important that would be to be seeded going into the last 16. I think it would be incredible. There was a banner at the game the other night Hey, we just sat above the green brigade, myself, my mate, and the two boys were there. They were 13. And the banner, it said something like, we've read their heroes in the past, and it's now our time to witness it. And I realised at that point, my boy at 13 had never really experienced a Champions League a run or whatever. So I think it's a great thing that's happening. And I thought about it that night to think, for the kids coming through, it's great. Listen, we might not get another point, but I just wanted to get the guy's thoughts on, do we think we can finish top eight? And by being seeded, is it too daft to dream about getting to the quarter final?
Oh, wow. Let's go the whole way if we're taking it. I might as well just get to the final, Scott.
I think the format's most definitely helped Celtic, but you can't take anything away from the performance and the confidence I think the Celtic players will take from that. I think beating a side of Leipzig's quality in the manner that you did and physically really dominating them over the 90 minutes, I think Jim touched on it earlier in the show, that going 2-1 up at Hatton, coming out for the second half, it's quite easy to naturally drop back a bit and play a little bit safe. I felt Callum McGregor was crucial in how Celtic played. I think if I was to put myself in his shoes, and I know I've got that pace in front of me, it's very easy to open up and look to get them in behind all the time, but Callum McGregor putting his foot in the ball and taking the extra pass just allowed Celtic as a team to get forward more and get numbers behind the ball, even in Leipzig's own half, and that allowed them to sustain attacks, which I felt was the main thing for me. Callum McGregor was crucial in that. In terms of looking at next games, why not? I think the performances are there, the structure behind the ball is there, and players are just getting confident. I don't think it was an accident that Celtic won the other night. You can see the work they're doing, and for me, I could see them doing
what
really
sort of
the
point,
competition.
What sort of points tally are you thinking, Andy? I've seen a few things. Is it still looking at about 16 points, do they reckon, to finish top 8?
It's difficult to tell, Gordon, isn't it? Because it's the first year. A lot of the people, I mean, the predictions are saying 15, 16 for top 8. To be honest with you, I'm one of these people who get myself overexcited probably, but watching the Brews game last night, I was disappointed that they won 1-0 because I thought it was going to give them that wee bit into the next game. And they're obviously a pot two side, so that'll be a very, very difficult game. But if we win against Brews, we're certainly in a situation where we could finish top 8.
Yeah, the next one definitely changes that, Jim, because you don't need to. We're thinking about this overall package, but you know, home Bruges, Young Boys home, Dinamo Zagreb away, and Aston Villa, which you would imagine is tough. But if the centre backs want to go around picking up the ball inside the penalty box, then you've got a brilliant chance.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there has been some surprise results in Europe this year as well, and that all helps because it makes it more open. As Scott was saying there, the new format, it definitely gives Celtic, if you know, normally if you're only say the three teams in it and you'd have lost heavily in one of the games, you'd be under pressure. But the fact is, it's given them a little bit more breathing space, and they've responded to that. Celtic, the Atalanta performance and the Leipzig performance were outstanding, different types of performances, but nevertheless, you know, contrasting but very important. You know, I've not got a problem with fans that like Andy being optimistic. Why shouldn't you be
especially
optimistic?
Especially because I've been tongue in cheek at the start talking about Gron and getting to the final, but especially when the other night was clearly good enough, and Andy's, to be fair, is admitting it, it's not like guaranteeing that you go on, but surely after the other night, it was a level of performance and result that would at least then mean that you believe you can.
Yeah. I mean, I think
so. Performance shows that.
You know, if they can get one, you know, big performance, even just against Young Boys or whatever it happens to be, and maybe get another 4 points. I think they'll finish at the top, maybe 16 or whatever, and that might, you know, gives you that a one round playoff, which would be fantastic. I mean, you know, Andy's talking about getting to the top 8. I think that might just be a bridge too far for Celtic, but the performance the other night there, and the atmosphere, you know, the excitement is generated, and as I said, that air of positivity around the club can carry you. And because Celtic have the quality, Celtic have got quality, and they've got, I wholeheartedly agree with Scott, Callum McGregor was immense the other night there. He was immense in dictating the tempo of the game. You hear people saying all the time, a midfield player grabs a game with the scruff of the neck. He totally dictated it. He didn't rush it. He didn't buy into the atmosphere. He used his experience and his football and knowledge, saying, listen, we need to control this game here. And he was just going over, collecting it, popping it, getting it back, feeding it, just completely dominating the game. It was a masterclass of a midfield performance from Callum McGregor in the second half in particular the other night there.
Thank you, Andy. Well done to Andy's battery for staying the distance as well. And it takes us up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I just received the most predictable message from Hugh Keevans, which quite simply says, who is Triple H? Which knew it would be. He's a wrestler.
Paul Levesque. He's actually
there. We go. He's a former wrestler. Is he in charge of the full operation?
I think
he's
the top man, yeah.
Surely you were into wrestling when you were young.
Genuinely not as much as you would expect. Nah, because I know people of our age really, really were. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would like, you know, if you were around at your pal's house, I would take that much of an interest, but not as much as everyone else was for some reason.
Are you after the Undertaker?
No, that's our era. That is definitely our era. I can't believe Jim Duffy's best pals with Triple H. I would. You know his surname, so there we go.
Getting in a private jet, it was quite nice.
Let's play Beat the Pundit time. At 7 o'clock, you have to get your calls in by 7 01419511025. Let's hear from you.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Scott Allen both here. 01419511025. That is the number that you need, so give us a call. We're looking back on last night, Rangers fans. What did you make of the performance? Where does this leave you overall after a period of sort of frustration, anger, negativity? Call it what you want. Was it the right decision to leave out James Tavernier, and should he stay out for a bit or not? And where are you on the enigma that is Cyril Dessers? Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers very soon, so it might be a good time for you to get involved. Still kind of reflecting on Tuesday, of course, and what that all means going forward, and then your thoughts on going back to the domestic stuff this weekend. Give us your thoughts again. We've done a bit of everything. We've even discovered that Jim Duffy was chauffeuring Triple H from the wrestling around. This is the show that really spreads itself thin and covers a number of topics. It'd be nice to hear from Hearts fans, by the way. Do you feel you're heading in the right direction under Neil Critchley? The performance was probably pretty good, I think you would agree, although you tell me. Just couldn't quite get the job done against Bundesliga opposition. And then big card over the weekend. So anything you've got, get your calls in right now whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Both of you have identical records. Did you know that on Beat the Pundit? Good, you'll sleep well tonight. You won't be identical after this. One win for the listeners this week, which is better than last week, but I'm hoping we can take it up a notch with William in Kilsyth. How's it going, William?
Good, thanks, Gordon. How are you?
Good, all good here. Debut for you or second time?
Debut tonight.
Debut, good. Do okay usually when you play along at home?
Come.
I'm noticing this. Everybody is now pitching themselves at that exact level, because sometimes people phone in and say I'm brilliant, and then they get, you know, embarrassed. Or somebody, the weirder ones are the people that phone in and say, no, I'm absolutely rotten, but I thought I would just do it anyway. It's been more straightforward than Beat the Pundit this week after the man dressed in a giant chicken outfit last weekend.
That was a real low
for the competition. But tonight should be more straightforward. Let's toss the coin and find out. Heads it will be Jim Duffy, tails it will be Scott Allen. And it is tails. Don't tell your pal Andy Halliday, he's fuming, because genuinely I've got a real issue every single Monday without fail. It's just heads every week, and he has to play, as in like 11 weeks or something.
That was letting me.
He's won every week, isn't he?
Ah, he wins every week anyway. Roger Hannah just sits there and watches anyway. William, what we do here, as I'm sure you know, is give Scott something else in his headphones, just so that he can't hear your answers, obviously, to the same questions. So you'll know the drill, but the same reminder I give everyone: 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. If you want to pass, that is well within your rights, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Right, let's do it then. Your 30 seconds is going on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Dundee United manager came in between Jack Ross and Jim Goodwin?
Pass.
Who's Celtic's current number 8?
Pass.
Name any current top flight club that Owen Coyle played for.
St Johnson.
What surname connects Scotland internationals John, Davy and Andy?
Scott.
In what stadium does this year's Champions League final take place?
Wembley.
At what club did James Tavernier start his professional career?
Newcastle.
Okay. Let's bring Scott Allen back. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Dundee United manager came in between Jack Ross and Jim Goodwin?
Liam Fox.
Who's the current number 8 for Celtic?
Pass.
Name any current top flight club that Owen Coyle played for.
Dundee United.
What surname connects Scotland internationals John, Davy and Andy?
What surnames connect?
John, Davy and Andy, who've played for Scotland.
Pass.
In what stadium does this year's Champions League final take place? Three,
pass.
Two.
Pass.
Oh, just guess one.
Pick a big stadium in Europe.
Pick a big stadium.
Oh my word, I don't know who I'm angry at. I'm angry at you both. I just like to see good performances. I don't really care. I'm angry at you both. You for that last one. Just guess a stadium. And you, William, we'll get to you in a second.
That was a howler.
Which, no, just you wait and see. Which Dundee United manager came in between Jack Ross and Jim Goodwin? It is Liam Fox. Yeah. Former Dundee United man, Scott Allen, got that. So well done to him. 1-0. William, who's the number 8 for Celtic?
I know.
No, it's Kyogo, but William said there was a K. You said it, William, didn't you?
Yeah, I had it in my head, didn't I?
He went K.
Pass.
I was ready to see Scott Brown.
No, I thought it was a tatty. Said you go, so I would have got wrong.
But William, you were going to say it. I heard it. I heard the K, but you bottled it, and it's still 1-0 to Scott Allen. You both knew that Owen Coyle played for either Dundee United, Motherwell, St Johnstone, top flight club currently.
Yeah,
so,
top flight only currently.
2-1 to Scott Allen. This is one of these that, see, just with a wee bit of time, it's dead easy, but under the gun, it's hard.
Robertson.
Yeah. John Robertson, Davy Robertson, Andy Robertson.
There before my time, John.
I know, but the last one. Okay, so still 2-1. In what stadium does this year's Champions League final take place? Good guess, William, because it feels like it's Wembley every 2 years, yeah. But it is the Allianz this year.
If I won that?
No, not yet anyway, because you get those. Your lack of pace held you back there. One more question for William. And what club did James Tavernier start his professional career?
Newcastle.
It was Newcastle, and William got it. Equalised.
So one winner.
Last two each. Two each. Yeah, he's managed to equalise.
Oh, so
in
if
the
I had
last
been pass, I'd have got that. On that, yeah. Because the way you were looking at me for the stadium.
Blame me for the way I'm looking at you. Unbelievable. If William had got his act together with Kyogo, he would have beat you anyway.
I should have got Kyogo.
Ah, brilliant. There's two tiebreakers here, and there is only one I'm choosing. Note straight away. Right, here's the deal. I'm going to ask the question. I'll then get Scott to write his answer down, William, before you give me your attempt, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Right, your question is this. Since their inception, how many seasons have Motherwell been in the top flight? Since their inception, how many seasons have Motherwell been in the top flight? What are you giving us, Scott? Write it down, please. You try to count it. You'll be there a while. Just give me one. Come on. Please. Okay. What are you going for, William?
100.
Okay, a nice round number. What are the chances that it would be exactly 100? Scott's gone 70. Formed in 1886. Brilliantly, spectacularly, and well done to them. Have been in the top flight for 109 of those seasons. Well done to you, William. The sign ball is on its way. Good man. Happy with that?
I'm happy with that. I was absolutely howling, to be honest with you, but I'll take it.
Do not. Don't you dare, because the pundits do the opposite. Simon Donnelly won 2-1 the other night, and it was awful, horrible to watch, but he was delighted with it. So, William, I think you did well. The sign ball's on its way. Who's your team, William?
Rangers.
What'd you make of last night?
Happy with it. A better striker would have probably got the win, but at the same time, Deso's got the equaliser. It's such a hard one to call right now.
Are you just sitting on the fence with him? Because some people have their minds still made up. What's your take on it?
I'd get somebody else, but at this moment in time, I don't see. I had an idea that you could brought maybe Zach Lovelace in or Igamani, but at the same time, they're both young players, and how do you put them up front in a European night like that? So until, I think, probably summer, when you wait, just go with Dessers, and hopefully Danilo and some of the other guys can pop in me a few goals here and there.
This might be the earliest I've ever done this. 8th of November. Will that become a priority for Rangers in January, do you think? Yes, I know money, etc. So I get all that, but just on a purely like footballing basis?
Maybe a loan deal from somewhere?
I think it'll depend on how they do in Europe to financially. I mean, I think they've been this, you know, games have so far, I think $4.5 million we're talking about, but they've just announced, you know, severe losses, mm-hmm. so that they need to bring in significant income first. If they do that, then there's a chance, unless, as Scott said, that they can get someone on loan. But as we mentioned earlier on in the programme, there's not too many strikers out there, and if they are, clubs are certainly not going to let them go on loan, that's for sure.
And I guess maybe the fit, you know, if Danilo is then there and available every week and contributing, maybe the picture looks different. If Egerman can become less raw, then that takes, you know, time, maybe changes.
That takes time in games. I think with Danilo, it's whether he can stay fit. That's been the biggest question mark over him in his Rangers career so far.
Thanks to William. Well done. Sign ball's on its way. Great timing because John is on a sort of similar theme, actually. How are you, John?
I'm very good, thank you.
What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I was just listening to some of the people who have been in touch talking about support for Dessers, mm-hmm. and Jim Duffy was talking about how well Hadji's been doing, and really in the B team there's a young Scottish person that's been doing fantastically well and doing much better than Hadji, and it's Finlay Curtis, and I would have hoped that we'd be trying to promote a young Scottish boy to get in the Rangers first team, and I think he will get his chance, but it'd be great on a platform like this that the pundits were promoting a young Scottish person who's obviously doing extremely well for the B team. Like during the week there, he scored a hat-trick against Partick Thistle alongside Hadji. He did score one, but Finlay Curtis was absolutely tremendous in that game.
Yeah, good goals tally even before that. The hat-trick the other night, I did see that, Partick Thistle. Like, you can either answer that point directly or go into a wider point, which surely annoys everybody. Like, there must be kids in Celtic and Rangers Academy that can come on, and
there is.
There must be, but the Vish don't really see them. Or if there isn't, then fair enough. If there isn't, then you've got another massive issue on your hands.
I think that's an important point that I would like to touch on in terms of if Finlay Curtis is doing the business in the youth team, then you have to give him a chance to go and see if he's ready for that level. He might be at this moment in time, he might not be, but you won't know until you give him the experience. Because sometimes young kids, especially with goal records, that they surprise you. And look at Hearts with the young boy who came on and scored a few goals for them.
James Wilson.
Yeah, James Wilson. Listen, if you've got a natural goal scorer in the youth, there's got to be some opportunity you can give him, because it's not as if Rangers are doing really well in that department. So for me, I would love to see it, especially a young Scottish player.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with John in some aspects, but, you know, I think it's only the last two games, if you think about it, the Rangers have had a little bit more positivity surrounding them.
Yeah,
if
sure.
you put a young boy into that environment before those games, and, you know, there's a lot of criticism, and, you know, there's a kind of a definite uneasiness in the terrace or the stands, and you put that boy in, then he might be overwhelmed with that. So you've got to be careful. I don't know the boy's personality. Obviously, his goals is got a good record. But youth football, or that development football, or any whatever phrase you want to give it, is night and day from first team. I think, yeah, possibly on the bench, and then see if you get yourself in an opportunity where you can give him a bit of time to get, you know, used to playing for a club at Rangers and the demands and the expectations. But at this moment in time, I think Rangers have to get on a more consistent winning run. And then if you get four or five matches on the bounce, there's a bit of confidence, the fans are back behind you again, you know, that there is the degree of positivity, then it's easier, not easy, but easier to put him into the team and hopefully he does well. But yeah, the one thing I will say about John, yeah, we'd absolutely love to promote young players, mm-hmm. but it's not just your job to do it, it's Rangers' job to do it. It's Rangers' job to promote the young players and give them publicity and give them opportunities. I mean, but they've got to be good enough.
Because he's not an out-and-out striker, I don't think. You know, he's not like that number nine, but still has over 50 goals in the last two seasons, something like that. He is 17, mm-hmm. I think, and that.
And he can finish.
But I mean, is that back to this? What's too young? Is there such a thing? You take Jim's point about, you know, it's not been an amazing environment recently for Rangers to be pitching in 17
year olds. Yeah, but sometimes some kids just have that way about them where they create a spark, and it maybe sets an example to some of the older players who haven't performed. But you've got to take Jim's point. If Rangers are.
So he's 18 now, I think, isn't he? Anyway, just to correct myself.
If Rangers are seeing out games domestically quite comfortably, then it is a lot easier for the kid to go on and express himself and obviously chances created, get the chance of getting a goal, but because they've been so inconsistent, it's very, very difficult for Philip Clement to throw him in and just hope for the best. It's a case of, it purely depends on the type of manager in charge of the team and whether he's willing to do that.
John, is this all, you know, part of the, I know he's not an out-and-out striker, but like, is this all part of the sort of Cyril Dessers equation and what Rangers do to make their attack as efficient as it can be?
Yeah, I think so. And I suppose it was just when Yanis Hadji was being mentioned on a couple of occasions, and I just thought that was, it's overlooking, you know, what we've got on our doorstep, a young person who's just turned 18, as you said, who's been at the club since he's 6 years old, who we're not going to know if he's good enough. And I agree with Jim that it's up to Rangers to promote him, and they have been doing that. They have done quite a lot of social media around him. But if you look at, you know, the Barcelona example, when they had to rebrand their team, if you like, and they brought in a lot of the young players, and you see how they've flourished and how they've then flourished with Spain too. And I just think, see, in Scotland, we need to be braver. We need our top clubs in the top division, not just Celtic and Rangers, but the rest of the clubs too, and actually all the way down the divisions, to actually play the youngsters to try to promote Scottish football. Because if we don't get game time, if we don't play with adults, then they're not going to improve. And as a country, you know, as a national team, we're not going to improve too. And I think Finlay Curtis is a prime example of someone who should be getting absolutely game time. And it is up to Rangers, as Jim said. But I would love for there to be a bit more clamour from some of the pundits to say, come on, let's get some of these young Scottish boys in.
I'd also love the thought that we could convince Philippe Clement to do it. I'm glad you've got that much faith in us, John. Give you the final word on that, Scott.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of points John makes. Obviously, we all want to see these young prospects come on and flourish, obviously, for the good for the clubs, but most importantly as well for a lot of us to make Scotland the national team better. But listen, you need to be good enough first and foremost, and then you need to have an opportunity at Rangers. I do think if you have a natural goal scorer there, whether he's 18 or not, and he's scoring goals, there is spots available to maybe come on last 10-15 minutes of a game if it's not going well, and throw him on and see what he can do. Jim's probably best there because he's been a manager. He's been in situations where he's maybe stuck a young boy on and they've come on and done the business for him. It's purely down to Philippe Clement, and he's not been one to kind of promote players since he's been there, to be honest.
Okay, thank you very much to John on the line. Keep the calls coming, 01419511025. Might be a good time for you to get involved, Celtic fans. Brendan Rodgers is still obviously on a high from Tuesday's win against RB Leipzig, as you would expect. He says it's something that the club have been striving towards for years.
To go into a game of that magnitude against that level of opponent, I've heard it talked about a generational game, which I couldn't argue with that, you know, the performance level. It's something that we've been working towards for the last 12 to 16 months. We've been waiting probably as a club and a support base for a performance like that for a while. That's not just to perform, but to win and perform to that level. And we want to sustain that. And I think we've shown in three of the four games in the Champions League that we're actually a good side.
What did you make of it? How do you look back on it now? And what does it all mean going forward, Celtic fans? Give us all your thoughts on that and going into this weekend. There was no Cameron Carter-Vickers or Austin Trusty at training, but have they just been given an extra day? Or is that one that does worry you ahead of the trip onto Rugby Park? And then the fullbacks, it seems they're all on sort of contractual issues because Alistair Johnson, newspaper reports about him on the brink of a new deal. Brendan Rodgers says there's nothing imminent there, but obviously something he would like to do. There were reports the other night Alex Valle might have his loan deal cut short by Barcelona. How much of a concern would that be? Again, Brendan Rodgers says nothing confirmed there, and still no movement on Greg Taylor's either, actually, and he's out at the end of the season. Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Jim Duffy are here waiting for your calls, so please get in touch. We just heard from Brendan Rodgers before the break, so it might be a good time for you Celtic fans to get in touch. Also keen to look at Hearts last night and preview the weekend's action as well. A bit of breaking news tonight is that Jim Goodwin has signed a new contract, Dundee United manager. Extending his deal there at Tannadice as well. So give us a call, send us a tweet, get in touch and talk to us this Friday night. Thanks to Grant for the teaser. Grant wants you to name, and I think what we'll do here is I'm going to make it extra difficult for you. Just put some conditions on.
I'm a teaser guy, I'm not
some conditions on this. You know, like you're, so can you name 10 men, 10 players, currently playing for an Old Firm club, and they've won a league title outside of Scotland? Now, here's the thing, I don't want you just sitting and shouting every name of every player that's at Celtic or Rangers, because you'll eventually get there. But let's see if we can sort of work our way through them without, maybe even let's do it without getting any wrong.
So they've won a title,
a top flight. So right. Can you name the 10 players currently at either of the Old Firm, and they've won a top flight league title outside of Scotland? Let's see if we can get it without.
Does Japanese football count as a top flight?
It does. Now I wonder which one or ones you're going to go for.
Well, I'm just asking if you could consider that top flight. That's,
oh yeah, it's just top flight in that country.
That's
yes. Yep. Any of the others?
It's either Dessers or Danilo.
No, you mean other Japanese players like Maeda or Kyogo?
Oh, I was talking.
And who's the other one? Someone loan. Who's it in loan just or something?
It might actually be Yang.
No, you have to give it. Are you giving it Yang?
Is that your next shout after Rio Hatate?
Hatate.
Okay.
Kasper Schmeichel.
Yes, I was going to say the obvious one in
there.
Did
he win
the
league with Leicester? It was 5,000-1.
Okay.
As they say back in the day.
Just love to know the mindset there of somebody at the start of that season.
Aye.
He just goes to the bookies or opens their app and thinks, why not?
Yeah, set a couple of pound on there.
Kasper Schmeichel, Rio Hatate.
Right.
Any other nailed on, you think? So I'm happy just to hear your thought process before you commit. What I will say, currently there, just to help you, Celtic have a loanee that just won in Ireland this week, don't they? Is it Johnny Kenny?
Johnny Kenny.
So he doesn't count because he's sort of on loan. We're talking players that are still there at the moment.
So did Paolo Bernardo?
No. Any that jump out for you, Scott? Will we move on?
1 second, I'm trying to think.
Right, okay, Lawson, we'll leave it there. Give you some thinking time. You can join in, and like Grant, who sent that question in, fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com on the teaser. Who are the 10 players currently at and playing for an Old Firm club that have won a top flight league title outside of Scotland? Kasper Schmeichel and Rio Hatate. Give us your answers, your guesses. Eamon is on the line next. How are you, Eamon?
Yeah, I'm good. How you doing, mate?
All good here. What are you thinking tonight?
Mate, I'm just thinking, like, I'm just listening to people's interviews and, like, after the game, Brendan Rodgers, Philip Clement, and I'm just wondering, the delusional between the two is completely different. Brendan Rodgers comes on and talks about how the game is done, and Philip Clement bums up a team that's doing really bad.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I don't think anyone would doubt who's doing better at this moment, but if you are Philippe Clement and you go and draw away at Olympiacos and probably should win the game, what would you like him to say straight after that?
I just come out with the honest truth, mate. Like, it's the same as after the Aberdeen game. He came out and he said about after the couple of chances that Aberdeen created, Aberdeen absolutely were all over Rangers that day. And I don't understand what he's doing with, like, Dijon Sterling. He was, like, the best player on the pitch yesterday, probably, apart from Barron. And then he takes him off, like, 5 minutes after half-time. But what's that all about?
Well, he said before the game, didn't he? He actually, you know, it was sort of pre-planned, if you like. And there's another debate there about the influence of sports science. But he said the day before the game that he wasn't ready to play 90 minutes. So we sort of knew he would come off.
Yeah, I mean, I've not got a problem talking his team up. I mean, a draw in Olympiacos is a fantastic result, and the performance was good as well. So you're only talking about that particular game. You're not generalising about the whole season. You're just talking about that game, and you're trying to put a positive spin on it, which I think he's entitled to do. As far as Sterling. Dijon Sterling, again, we don't know if we had maybe, you know, a bit tightness at half time, and, you know, sometimes you look at it, they speak to the medical department and they think, well, what, we don't really want to take the risk of him because he has done well, he had an outstanding performance, so we want to make sure he's fit for the Hearts game at the weekend. So they've got two right backs on the bench, so there was there's no the same risk or the same parts that you would have to use for maybe another player. So they can do that without disrupting the team. And I think that there was no disruption to Rangers' team by changing it. And if he is fit for the weekend, then it's been proved it's the right decision.
At the same time, Scott, look, the comments after Aberdeen did raise eyebrows, and we spoke about it and we criticised them, and we often do. I just don't know if last night, you know, what I don't know what the departure from the truth was last night. Like Jim says, it was a decent result, and I think that's kind of all he said, isn't it?
Yeah, I think in terms of speaking up his team, it was a moment where fantastic result for Rangers, and he's trying to get a bit of confidence into the group because it has been a lot of doom and gloom this season. So it was well worthy praise for the team, because it was overall a great team performance for Rangers, getting a point in Athens. I think with Dujan still in, listen, if he's fit on Sunday, then like Jim says, it is the right decision. Casemiro came on, performed well, and then Tav obviously comes on. So the only thing for me is the reliance on the sports science, because in big games, a lot of managers would try and keep them on as long as possible. So he does, in fact, we know for a fact that he does rely heavily on the influence of them.
How happy were you with your own team's performance on Tuesday, Eamon? Must have been delighted.
It was the best performance I've seen Celtic ever do in Europe. And that's why I'm comparing the two. I watched the Rangers game last night, and listen, I want them to do well, to be fair, and that's not a joke. But listen, see, this just punting. It was like watching Irish League football, where I'm from. It was like watching Clevenville play Larne. It was just like punt the ball up, and then even like, I mean, the going about this is it Evan Proper or whatever. He can't head a ball or whatever. It's just like Irish League football. And then if Celtic were to play them next week in that cup final, if the 15th was to come a lot sooner, honestly, Celtic would probably take about 7 or 8 with the way they play through them. Last night, Celtic would have took about 6 or 7 off that team, the way that Rangers were able to play through. I think Dessers gets a lot of grief because of he doesn't score goals, but what's he got? He's just got people punting a ball up to him. He's not got anybody. I know he has the odd chance and he took his goal well, but what else has he got apart from just people punting a ball up to him and it's bouncing off him? It's, the guy's not going to get a chance, is he, in there, because they're not a great team and they can't pass a ball.
What are the chances, though, that Eamon has that dig and we've got a current long player in the studio? I thought you were on loan. Are you not?
Last year.
So you're fully at Kelty now?
Yeah.
I thought you said last week that you were on loan or something, no?
No.
You were on loan at Larne, of course. Right, sorry.
Cliftonville and Larne are two of the better football teams in the league as well.
Well, anyway, listen, you've got your Larne connection, so I just thought it was funny that you just plucked these two and decided to...
I genuinely thought Cliftonville were the best football side in.
Yeah, you were on loan from Arbroath, weren't you? That was the, I knew that. Listen, you're a complex man. Your Wikipedia page is complex.
You'd be there all day.
I must admit, I didn't think Rangers lumped the ball last night, you know, or generally speaking, I think that they try and play a little bit, so I don't agree with him in his assessment of how Rangers played. You know, you can have your opinion on the gulf between the two teams. If you're talking about Celtic and Rangers, there is a gulf, there's no question about that.
To me, and also, I don't detect anyone really debating that currently either.
Yeah, no, everyone knows there's a gulf, in everything, yeah. you know, from the top all the way down financially on the pitch and off the pitch. But in terms of just taking the game in isolation, I thought Rangers played some decent football last night, and you know, they didn't just lump up the pitch. Maybe in later stages of the games, channel, when you're just trying to turn them around and keep the ball in the channel. But generally speaking, I thought they actually played quite well and controlled a lot of the game against a side who's got an outstanding record in particularly at home in European football.
On his own team, Eamon says it's the best Champions League performance he thinks he's ever seen. Mm-hmm. Is where kind of did it rank for you? Is that the type of praise you would put on it?
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with that. I think Celtic fans and any Celtic fans I've spoke to, in terms of control and the style of play, that is what you want to go and pay your money to see. Goals, chances created. There was some outstanding through balls in the game. Nicholas Kuhn for one hit at it after he not made the guy. So I think in terms of the whole performance from Celtic, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly the best, I think, European performance I've seen since perhaps, well, certainly into the run to Seville with Martin O'Neill's team. There was one or two games in there, you know, obviously, and even pre that, you can back to Gordon Strachan's area against Manchester United, against Liverpool or Blackburn, all these kind of games. But in terms of atmosphere and quality, other than, as I say, the 15-minute spell Celtic were absolutely magnificent. We're a joy to watch. We're breathtaking at times. So yeah, I think someone like Eamon, you know, I think depending what age you are, you would have to say that in the 21st century, you know, there hasn't been many, if any, better performances than that.
It was like when Mark Wilson was on last night, and he played in Celtic teams that progressed in the Champions League. But even, you know, he's his thought on it's different now, and it is a lot more structured. So you almost need that level of control. I mean, there are teams that have got really, really good results, but it was just a bit different.
Yeah, and you need the level of technical ability and the players that you have to do that, especially off the back of obviously playing another Bundesliga team in Dortmund, where they've definitely learned their lessons. But for me to have that level of control at that level against a team of that quality, it was breathtaking stuff.
Here's a more topical one for you. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers, who says there's no update about the future of Alistair Johnson. There were newspaper reports about him due to sign a contract extension.
Nothing I can add to that. I seen something on that basis probably 4 or 6 weeks ago as well. So nothing to add. He's clearly a player, of course, we would want to. He's absolutely a fantastic guy to work with, both on and off the pitch. And so hopefully in the future that can be the case. You know, both our fullbacks are absolutely...
Is that a priority for Celtic? I mean, contract's not running out, but is he now... But Celtic do this, obviously. You've seen it with most of the other so-called big hitters. So is he next, given the performance levels this season?
Yeah, no question for me. He's been outstanding this season. The selfless running that he does for the team, getting on the end of things, and he's got that little bit of quality in the final third, which we've seen this season. So for me, he's an absolute must to get signed up again.
Yeah, Celtic seem to have a knack of finding right backs. I mean, the Frimpong and then Juranovic. And
I remember playing against the fastest guy.
Mark Wilson.
Yeah, Mark Wilson, of course. But I mean, then getting Alistair Johnson, I mean, then obviously they've got Anthony Ralston as a good backup. But in terms of, you know, filling that position, sometimes if you get one in, you know, a 10-year period, you're delighted. But to get three of that quality is great recruitment, I have to say that, from Celtic's point of view. And Alistair Johnson, yeah, and amongst, of course, a number of players. I know they've got them, a lot of them in long-term contracts, but certainly Alistair Johnson, what has he got? I think he's got another 2 years, so there's no immediate rush, but I think Celtic fans would be delighted if he could add another year or two to his current deal.
Frimpong, the quickest you played against,
ever.
Would you say? Really?
Ever.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's one of them that's just...
Were you going to track him?
Track. It's one of them where they say, I just when he knocks it by you, just body check him. But it was like the Matrix, he was just around you. Incredible pace.
When you were at Hibs?
At Hibs, yeah. We played Celtic in a semi-final at Hampden, 5-2.
I remember it, yeah.
Do you remember that one, night game? My God, scary. Sometimes you just need to hold your hat off to players. You know, it's incredible pace.
The other one, there was also, because it was weird, it was just before kickoff the other night, reports, I think, from Spain that Alex Valle's loan might be cut short by Barcelona. Brendan Rodgers again said today that he doesn't know anything new about that and would hope not. They've got a real...
Well, they've not the same quality in the left-hand side as they've had in the right-hand side. You know, they've struggled to find someone to compete with Greg Taylor, and Valle seems to have settled in quite well. Yeah. So that'll be a difficult one if he does get called back to Barcelona.
Interesting that, though, because now, you know, talk about the two players for every position sort of thing. Before the game the other night, everyone on here, the vast majority, I think, went for Valle to play, and then Greg Taylor did, and your guys are talking that it's one of the best, you know, performances in a while. So that really feels like there's a proper battle on there to be first choice.
No, quick. Listen, we speak about it before, about Greg Taylor does come under a bit of criticism here and there, but for me, again, I think he's been another outstanding performer for Celtic. Obviously come from Kilmarnock the other night, has an impact to the game. Lovely reverse pass from Hitati, and he's on the byline crossing it in for Nicholas Coon. So you can't argue with the decisions that Brendan has made. I think come January, if they are looking to strengthen in areas, if they get the results in the Champions League over the next month or so, they'll be in a much stronger position to even get maybe a better quality of player.
The Hearts one was probably Scales, isn't it? I mean, because he's really passed it wrong and since he's been into Celtic's first team, and he's been the one that's been left out recently with Trusty and Carter Vickers. But you said Neither of them trained today.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll change it. And obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if Carter Vickers was left out with the artificial pitch at the weekend because he's had one or two little issues, muscle issues.
That would be an interesting one, though, because you're right. He's the one that they're kind of managing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Trusty looked to have taken a proper sore one the other night, didn't he?
Yeah.
And played through it. And then if he's missed training, if it's the same, that all of a sudden that would be, yeah, great opportunity for Scales. But it'd be Scales and Welsh. That,
yeah,
you know, and again, it's not. I'm not trying to disrespect anyone, but if you are Vassell and Watkins, you'd much rather that Carter Vickers and Trusty were missing.
Yeah, I think particularly Carter Vickers, because obviously you're then trying to pin the one that's not as quite as physical, and you know Carter Vickers can certainly handle, even if it is Vassell who prides himself and being very physical against defenders. But the style of football, and I know Celtic have. You know, they've done well the vast majority of the time down at Kilmarnock, but there is always that little element of doubt that creeps into players' minds because it is the artificial pitch and possibly conditions, you know, weather conditions can play a part in it and you maybe can't play your normal game. It wouldn't surprise me if Carter Vickers was left out just as a precaution.
Okay, 01419511025. Quickly on the teaser, Grant asked if you could name the 10 players currently at the Old Firm who've won a top flight league title outside of Scotland. You've given Kasper Schmeichel, correct. Rio Hatate, correct.
Dio Mandy.
No.
Proper.
No.
Danilo.
Danilo, yes. In the Netherlands, yep.
Czerny.
Yep, in the Netherlands as well.
Ajax.
Did Lewis Palmer?
Nope.
So what have we got? We've got Czerny, Engels. No, Engels.
So these really need to have come from pretty much a really big club within whatever league it was. Mm-hmm. That's your obvious. I'm really stating the obvious there.
Right. Okay. Many have we got? Five? Four?
You've got four.
Yang?
No,
you said
I'll leave it with you. Give you some thinking time, and we'll be back after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's show, Scott Allen and Jim Duffy. I think they just needed some breathing space on this teaser because I've heard them working away. I've heard some good things coming out of you. So Grant wanted you to name the 10 players currently at the Old Firm that have won a league title top flight outside of Scotland. You had Schmeichel, Hatate, Czerny and Danilo before the break.
Aye, Scott come up with one that I would never have got.
What did you go for?
Liam Scales.
Yes, Shamrock, well done, yep.
Yeah, the ones I thought just because, again, as we're talking about left backs, was Yilmaz and Jefty.
Both of them, yep, because Jefty was in Cyprus, wasn't he, and won it with Apoel.
And again, we're thinking of ones that maybe don't play all the time. When we spoke about him earlier on, unfortunately injured, is Cortez,
yes, in Colombia.
So many we got?
Two to get.
Agamani.
Yes, Morocco. Did in Morocco. One to get. We'll leave it there. We'll get it before the end of the show. What did you make of Hearts last night?
I thought first half they were excellent. There was chances there to go in front. Obviously playing against a real quality opposition in the Bundesliga side. But for me, Hearts look as if they're moving in the right direction.
Well, it's a big match at the weekend for them, and you know, although the performances may be a bit better, they've lost a couple of games. Obviously, you know, a point against Hibs, but I think it doesn't matter whether your performances come in, the style's obviously changing a little bit under Neil Critchley. There's obviously Lauren Shanklin has been struggling to score goals, and that's a big thing. And we're speaking a lot tonight about Dessers. And when your star striker just hits that barren patch and he just can't seem to buy a goal, then all the good work goes undone. You know, you need to put the ball in the back of the net. So he has to get a couple of results, I think, Neil Critchley, just to give him a little bit more breathing space. And then he can implement his style on the team. And at the moment, he's probably in between things, try to get results and try to develop a style for the team. So, yeah, big match at the weekend against Rangers.
We talk about Scott, you know, fans will, they'll be more understanding if they can see the plan. And I take Jim's point, obviously, at the end of the day, you're going to need to win games. But he's won a couple.
Yep.
And is it quite clear that sort of direction that they're heading in? Maybe sometimes if you want to play a specific way, you can only use the players that are there, obviously, until you get to a transfer window. Is that maybe what we're seeing?
I think that's exactly what we're seeing. I think definitely seen it in the derby against Hibs. They had a way of working the ball out into areas where I think come January you'll see players come in the positions he wants and make a real difference for Hearts. But listen, that's what the fans are getting behind. We got a good result away at St Johnston, performance in Europe against Ammonia. I think last night there was a lot of good, although the result wasn't there. So Hearts look like they're moving in the right direction for their... Unfortunately, at Hibs, it's another massive game for them too. And they'll be looking across the road saying they look as if they're going the right direction and we're just trying to buy a win at the moment.
What are you thinking about your old team, St Mirren, and it's at home?
Huge game.
What does that mean? Come on.
What does it mean? I don't know if I like the fact it's at home. I think maybe away from home they've been a bit better because they keep conceding so late on in games, and that's been the problem with Hibs all season, their late goals. And I think as a player, subconsciously, that starts to have an effect on you. You start looking at the clock and you can see it at Easter Road. As the game goes on, you've got a 1-0 lead that they had against Dundee United, which should have been up more. And you start getting deeper and deeper. And then you can see that penalty, which was very dubious for me in the last minute. And unfortunately, they're away with one point and not three.
On that topic, the latest, because they do it every Friday, the Scottish FA's Key Match Incident Review Panel, KMI for short. Obviously quite a new thing this season, so if you've missed it, they go through all the VAR calls from the previous weekend. There's a panel of five. They'll sort of vote then in that five to say, what did the referee get it right or wrong? And then was the outcome, you know, with the VAR right or wrong. So of all the ones from last weekend, so that takes in like there was a kind of controversial shirt pull, Hearts trip to St Johnston. I know Dundee felt from the previous, was it the midweek, that they should have had a penalty for Liam Scales' handball. Funnily enough, that was one of the ones that the KMI panel actually thought that shouldn't even have been an incident, shouldn't even have been included. It was that far off. Various other ones in there. But the only one this week that they thought was wrong was that Dundee United should not have been awarded that penalty at Easter Road.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that a view you share?
People can look at the tug of the jersey, because it was a tug of the jersey, but it's whether it impacted the player getting on the ball, and yeah, it didn't. It was well over his head, so it didn't happen. So sometimes you'll see that, players running and grabbing each other, and the player fell down. So yeah, I don't think VAR had to become involved there, and I think that was a big decision. Why? Because there was no chance of the player getting on the end of the ball. Wasn't it impacting... The opportunity to score a goal. And then you had the slightly different, but you know there was a lesser tug, but there was still a tug just after that, so that caused even more confusion. Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm with Scott. I don't think that should have been given as a penalty, and I think it's good to that they've reviewed it and they've come out and they've said what most
not
people
good to
don't.
David Gray though, that's
no as a manager, and you mentioned there about Hibs not getting a result.
Yeah,
these are the type of things that seem to go against you when you're scrapping for results, isn't it?
Yeah, especially the fact that you have VAR there to hopefully back up what you think on the side. So for me, it's a huge game for Hibs tomorrow.
I just keep doing this though. Any chance of players stopping pulling each other? Then you don't need to worry about where the ball's going.
No,
or how many seconds. People have got the stopwatch out and going, oh well, he only pulled him for 2 seconds, and I think you find he pulled him for 2.5, so it shouldn't have been given. But you just don't pull him there.
But you pull because you don't want to be the guy who runs off and scores,
good,
and then you got
don't
to
let him in.
No, I agree. I think we hear it all the time. Set piece coaches. Well, see, if you're a set piece coach, it's not just when you have a set piece; it's when you're defending a set piece. So, coach your defenders to defend properly, and go and get yourself in the right area, get the right body position. You can block people off without pulling jersey. So I'm 100% agree with you, Gordon. If you pull the jersey, you're always going to run the risk, because there's cameras everywhere.
Especially
don't
the one,
do it.
I keep saying it. It's the old, and by the way, I agree that Hibs have been hard done by, because they should only be given if the ball was going into that area. So let me be clear. But just as a more general point, it's the one where the arm is out straight and the shirt is coming out the opposite way and the player's running away from you. Get into your head.
That's a moment of panic. That's just like, he's away from me. And it's just panic, and it's just...
Yeah, but a split
second reaction.
See, because the way Hibs' season has been going and they've been losing goals late on, that all plays a part in defending.
I think
like
it does
that
in that one another day. It's not even his man. He's not even looking. He just decides
he's actually behind him. He's actually pulling from
behind. See, he's not panicking that he's getting away from him. He just thinks, I'll have a wee hold. I'll agree, for the avoidance of doubt, that shouldn't have been given anyway. But
there are some
more
bad habits
point.
That take a little bit longer to get rid of, and this one will take a little bit, but it will. It will calm down because, as you mentioned, there'll be so many penalties given that players and managers, I think, will teach their players, and also will find the players to make sure that they don't do it because it's costing too many points.
I did a podcast with Derek McInnes this week, and he was saying that for all his red cards they've been getting, and he feels a lot of them have been harsh, but he started fining his players in training if they argue with the decisions, just a small amount, and putting it in the kitty, and banned pulling. Not allowed, generally, if a player's getting away from you in midfield in training, not allowed to pull him. Because just get it in your head Anyway, one more in the teaser. 10 players currently at the Old Firm that have won a league title in the top flight outside Scotland: Schmeichel, Scales, Hatate, Yilmaz, Jeffty, Cortez, Cherny, Danilo, Igamani. One more.
Celtic or Rangers?
Rangers.
Oh, I think. No.
Came on last night.
Casemiro.
Well done, we got there in the end. Thank you, Scott Allen. Thank you, Jim Duffy. And thank you for listening, for tweeting, for calling. And we do it all again tomorrow. It's a busy weekend, this. A double helping of Hugh Keevans over your weekend. What more could you ask for? It starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Some big games, and then on to our own version of Super Sunday the next day as well. In fact, a 6-hour Sunday evening. What more could you ask for? Incredible. So 2 o'clock tomorrow, first and foremost. Enjoy your Friday. The GBX is up next.